Hear the word of God as it is written in 1 Kings chapter 17, reading from verses 5 to 24. And this can be found on page 275 of the Pew Bibles. 1 Kings 17, reading from verse 5. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw the widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, "O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" But Elijah replied, "Give me your son." And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him upstairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, please let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. "Look," he said, "your son is alive." Then the woman told Elijah, "Now I know for sure that you are a man of God, and the Lord truly speaks through you." Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, reading verses 35 to 43, and this can be found on page 765 of the Pew Bibles. Mark, chapter 5, reading from verse 35. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Last week we began our look at the prophet Elijah, and we found that the first thing he did was deliver a declaration of war to King Ahab, challenging the false god Baal that Ahab believed in to a fight by saying that there would be no more rain or dew until Elijah gave the word. We found out that Baal worship was particularly offensive to God, as it involved child sacrifice and inappropriate sexual exploitation and gratification, to name but a few of the reasons. Surprisingly, it was King Ahab, the king of the Jews, who was instrumental in promoting this false worship through the influence of his Gentile wife Jezebel. The brave Elijah delivers God's message to the very throne room of Ahab. But as a servant of God, he is a work in progress, and his faith needs refining. So God sends him to Kerith Brook to pass through boot camp training for prophets. He lives in isolation as he depends on God to meet his needs. And God sends the ravens with meat and bread, and he drank from the brook. People nowadays go on spiritual retreats. Our last church retreat was to a place called Bible Lands near Glasgow Airport, and a dozen or so of our members spent the time exploring their faith, and by doing so deepened their personal relationship with God. Some people go away for weekends, some go away for even longer, and they spend the time in quiet reflection and shared communion as they distance themselves from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Elijah goes on the most extreme spiritual retreat you could ever imagine. There is no shared experience. He is alone, and yet his needs are taken care of. He's not distracted with having to find food and water. It is provided for him. This is quality time with God, and he is taught to rely on God for the needs of his flesh. Now, the majority of you have food at home, freezers and cupboards often well stocked. Others amongst us in the church and in our community have very little. And though you may not know it, as you pass by their house from the outside, the cupboards are bare in the inside. Elijah watched as God met his needs day in and day out, and he probably came to accept that. But just when he probably was getting comfortable with that, God allowed the brook, his only source of water, to dry up before his own eyes. As Elijah sat there beside that dried up brook, it must have felt as if God had abandoned him. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. It is a terrible feeling. However, God had not forgotten about Elijah. God knew exactly where he was, and God knew all about that dried up brook. How often have you heard stories about people who go through their own personal dry brook, only to see in retrospect that God used that situation to teach them a lesson or to fortify them for a future challenge that they would have to face. But the lesson that we often find hard to accept or understand is that genuine faith waits for God to act in his time, not in ours. Genuine faith will sit by a dried up brook, waiting on the will of God to be revealed forever, even unto death. Friends, this is where we get into trouble. We have this tendency to turn and to run ahead of God and take matters into our own hands. Yet God's will is that when we learn to wait on him, even when he doesn't move according to our timetable, that is what he wants us to do. So if your brook is dry this morning, do not fear. God has not forgotten about you. He knows where you are, and when the time is right, according to his will, you will hear his voice calling you afresh. As it says in Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Elijah may have passed the physical boot camp training at Kerith Brook, but God isn't finished with his training yet. He sends Elijah to face a new challenge, the spiritual finishing school at Zarephath. At Kerith, God broke the prophet's flesh. He taught Elijah to depend on him for his physical needs. At Zarephath, God will break Elijah's pride. He will come to depend on God for his spiritual needs as well. Here he will learn that God, not Elijah, calls all the shots of life. And he will learn that things are never just quite as they appear. The instruction to go to Zarephath is a strange command, considering the fact that the village of Zarephath was situated near the city of Zidon, which was ruled by the father of Jezebel, King Ahab's wife. It was a land of idolaters who worshipped Baal and other false gods, yet that is exactly where the Lord sends his prophet. And to add to the burden, to get to Zarephath from Kerith will require Elijah to travel over 100 miles, most of the way through territory ruled over by King Ahab, who is hunting hard everywhere for Elijah as the drought began to set in. Now, any battlefield tactician would say that this move was foolhardy and made no sense whatsoever. Elijah could have probably coped with the instruction to go to Zarephath, but I'm pretty sure that he struggled with the next part of the message. God told him, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. A widow to feed him. That must have struck a serious blow to his pride. You see, in those days, widows were the poorest of the poor. In times of drought and need, the widows were the first group to die off. Instead of God telling Elijah, I have a widow over there in Zarephath that I want you to take care of, God says, Elijah, I'm sending you to another place of testing where you'll have to look to me for all your needs again. In Zarephath, the last vestiges of Elijah's pride and self-reliance will be stripped away. Scottish people are, in particular, self-reliant. We like to believe that we can handle it. No matter what the situation face, we can deal with it. We're Scottish. We like to think that we're in control of our lives and that we call all the shots. But when Elijah arrives at Zarephath, he sees the widow gathering sticks. And when he sees her, he calls to her to fetch him a drink of water. And as she turns to get it, he asks her for a bite of bread as well. In response, the widow tells Elijah a heart-rending story of her situation. She is about to cook her last meal with the remnants of food that she has before preparing to die with her son. When Elijah hears her story, he makes what appears to be the coldest demand in the Bible. He tells her to go ahead and fix her last supper, but to feed him first. On the surface, he appears harsh and cruel, but it was, in reality, a plea for faith and surrender to the will of God. When Elijah asked the widow for a little bread, her fear is brought to the surface. God had already commanded her to care for this prophet. But she is trapped in the fear of her circumstances and not looking to the God who controls the circumstances. And this is the place where many people are living this morning. When we look at our problems and our needs, we feel like we're trapped in a hopeless situation. And we're guilty of looking at the problem and not at the provider. As much as Elijah was sent to Zarephath for his own benefit, he was also sent there for the benefit of the widow. She needed to learn also the value of faith in God. When the widow heard the word of Elijah, she did as he commanded her. And it must have taken great faith for her to use the last little bit of meal she had to prepare bread for a total stranger. Yet she did it in faith. This is the place that God wants to bring all of us to. He wants us to trust him in every circumstance, regardless of what the outward appearance may suggest. Legend has it that a man was lost in the desert, just dying for a drink of water. He stumbled upon an old shack, a ramshackled, windowless, roofless, weather-beaten old shack. He looked about and found a little shade from the heat of the desert sun. As he rested in the shade, he saw a pump about 15 feet away, an old, rusty water pump. He stumbled over to it, grabbed the handle, and began to pump up and down, and nothing came out. Disappointed, he staggered back to the shade. Then he noticed, off to the side, an old jug. He looked at it, wiped away the dirt and dust, and read a message attached to it that said, "You have to prime the pump with all the water in this jug, my friend. P.S. Be sure you fill the jug again before you leave." He popped a cork, and sure enough, it was almost full of water. Suddenly, he was faced with a decision. If he drank the water, he could live. But if he poured all the water into the old dusty pump, maybe it would yield fresh, cool water from down deep in the well, all the water that he needed. What should he do? Pour it into the old pump and take a chance on fresh, cool water? Or drink what was in the old jug and ignore its message? Should he waste all the water in the hopes of some flimsy message that was written who knows how long ago? Reluctantly, he poured all the water into the pump. Then he grabbed the handle and he began to pump, squeak, squeak, up and down, squeak, squeak, but nothing came out. Squeak, squeak, up and down, and then a little began to dribble out, then a small stream, and finally it gushed, to his relief, fresh, cool water poured out of the rusty pump. Eagerly, he filled the jug and he drank from it. He filled it another time and once again drank its refreshing contents. Then he filled the jug for the next traveller. He filled it to the top, popped the cork back on, and added this little note: "Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away before you get anything back." That is the essence of genuine faith. It's not a risk, but it is a challenge to our human reasoning. Faith will call on us to do the unthinkable so that we might receive the impossible. I wonder, have you reached that place in your walk with God? If not, then don't be surprised when God leads you through dark valleys and deserts, He is in the process of refining you as His servant. You can do no better than to learn to obey Him promptly, just like Elijah and the widow did, for His name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are an amazing God. Your ways are strange to us at times, and You call us to do the unthinkable. But when we know in our heart that it's You that's calling, give us the strength to walk the path that You put in front of us. And even when the path takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, keep us strong in our faith so that we might gain the impossible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in whose mighty name we pray. Amen.